and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. In Chicago, the labor market continues to remain resilient in the face of rising interest rates. CBS's Jason Brooks.
263,000 jobs were added to the economy in November, 63,000 above expectations, while the unemployment rate remains steady at 3.7% despite rising layoffs, especially in the tech sector. Hourly earnings rose more than expected from October, and that will be a key data point for the Federal Reserve to chew on at its meeting this month. The Fed is expecting unemployment to rise while it raises interest rates in its fight to bring down inflation.
Most of the job gains last month came in leisure and hospitality, healthcare, and the government. Hate speech on Twitter is on the rise. More from CBS's Steve Futterman.
Since the online social media giant was taken over by Elon Musk, there's been a spike in tweets containing hate speech. This according to several groups, including the Anti-Defamation League. Daily slurs against African Americans have more than doubled. Anti-gay and anti-Semitic posts have also significantly risen. It comes as some accounts that previously had been banned are now allowed to come back. Musk has called himself a free speech absolutist, although on Thursday he indefinitely suspended the account of Kanye West. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
The Senate runoff election in Georgia is in its final days. CBS's Nicole D'Antonio reports there have been a record number of early voters.
Georgia voters lined up to cast their ballot on the final day of early voting Friday in the Senate runoff election.
It was worth it. I'm ready for this to get behind us.
Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock is trying to fend off a challenge by Republican Herschel Walker.
We cannot let our foot off the gas, not even for a moment.
Enough is enough. Now what we got to do is we got to get out and vote.
President Biden helped phone bank for Warnock while in Massachusetts.
A vigil for the four students who were murdered in a home near the University of Idaho campus took place today in Post Falls, Idaho. Madison Morgan's father, Benjamin, honored her by sharing stories of her life.
Maddie was always inquisitive, curious, and eager to learn about everyone and everything. She absolutely loved younger children and their life, adored all animals, and never said no to any type of family gathering.
Police have yet to identify a suspect. InfoWars host Alex Jones has filed for personal bankruptcy protection in Texas. Jones cites debts that include nearly $1.5 billion he's been ordered to pay to families who sued him over his conspiracy theories about the Sandy Hook school massacre. He has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in Houston. The Dow closed up 135 points today. The Nasdaq fell 21. This is CBS News.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Get off the endless debt treadmill and start saving money each month. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Call Total Financial now at 800-208-1312. 800-208-1312.
President Trump has announced, and Ron DeSantis is rising fast. Who do you support for 2024? Newsmax wants to know what you think. Vote in the Newsmax poll. Just text the word FISH to 39747. That's FISH to 39747. It takes just seconds. Text FISH to 39747. Let your voice be heard. And watch Newsmax today.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Here is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, December 5th. In Wood County, the Property and Information Technology Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in room 114. The Wisconsin Rapids Plan Commission meeting will take place at 4 p.m. within the council chambers at City Hall on 444 West Grand Avenue. The Stevens Point City Plan Commission will hold their meeting at 6 p.m. in Stevens Point. The Portage County Health and Human Services Board will meet at 4:30 p.m. at the Portage County Annex Conference Rooms 1 and 2. The City of Adams will hold their City Council meeting from 6 to 7 p.m. at 101 North Main Street in Adams. The Adams County Administrative and Finance Committee will meet from 9 to 11:30 a.m. at the Adams County Courthouse, located at 401 Adams Street in Friendship. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Snow likely overnight, otherwise overcast. Lows level off around 11. Westerly winds 20 to 25 miles per hour. Highs level off around 18. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Lows level off around 9 above. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. A dusting of snow overnight with another dusting Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 40.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
This here rap is a thank you note. Now pick up the beat while I clear my throat. The story begins with a volleyball school word set to music by a white rap bull. A guy, a class, a volleyball dream in need of some training, if you know what I mean.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bryan. Jade, what was the name of that song?
It's called The Volleyball Rap. We found out at the last minute that we were going to get Molly today, and I didn't have a lot of time to find the perfect bumper song. But
you could have just played On Wisconsin.
No. That's the next segment. Anybody can do that.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today during your lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. It is a big Badger sports weekend. And if you're watching the live stream, you can see that I have my Badger red lipstick on and my Badger sweatshirt on. I did not go to UW-Madison. I am certainly a Badger at heart because my parents both went there, and we've been doing Badger sporting events since I can remember. But this weekend is a big weekend because tonight kicks off the NC2A tournament for the women's volleyball, and the Badgers are the number one seed. And so we thought we'd have a former Badger volleyball player. Molly Haggerty is joining us, and she is a previous Big Ten Freshman of the Year and three-time All-American outside hitter for the Badgers from 2016 to 2021. Welcome to the show, Molly.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you. So you graduated in 2021. So of the team that's playing now, how many of the women did you play with?
So when I was looking back to when I played, I was like, when did I graduate? Because with COVID and everything, it was wild. So I graduated 2021, but that was the spring season. So I was not on the team that won the national championship last year. However, I played with, I want to say, five of the girls.
Okay.
Five, maybe more than that. But I know five for sure.
For sure. And so it's one of those, the women's volleyball at Wisconsin, we've always been good, right? We are a nationally ranked program regularly. And so having been in their shoes of starting the tournament, what do you think the team is doing / feeling going into today or tonight and the tournament itself?
Yeah, well, being in the player's shoes, I just remember December was my favorite month, not only because my birthday was in it, but because the tournament started. And from the beginning of the season, that's what you're always looking for, is the tournament. You want to win a national championship. So I think the girls right now are probably super, super excited. And I know for a fact that Kelly Sheffield is telling them one game at a time.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the key for this team, especially because I know with their last year's run, like, they have that feeling still of winning the title, and they probably want to feel that again. But it really is important to stay in the mindset of one game at a time, because you never know who you're going to face across the net, and maybe they're going to have their best game of their entire life and entire season. So I think it's key for the team just to really stay in the mindset of one game at a time.
Well, I mean, that's as it's why you play the game, right? An upset can always happen just because you go in there thinking that we're the number one seed. Things happen if you don't keep your head in the game. And so what are the other teams to look out for people who are going to plan on watching the tournament this year?
Yeah, I think this year, I mean, every single team I know in the Big Ten, there's no night off. I think that's why the Big Ten is so successful, is because it really does set you up for the tournament. But I mean, there's always the Penn State that's good, Nebraska, Texas, who's usually always at the top. You got Florida, Louisville. I mean, there's so many top teams that have only grown since the beginning of the season. And I think this Wisconsin team this year, that has been the biggest thing has stood out to me, is how much they've grown from the first game they played until now. And I think, I mean, I hope that at some point Wisconsin faces Florida, just because I know that when they played in the Kohl Center, they were so pumped. They had a big crowd and they didn't get the win they wanted, yeah. But they were a completely different team now. So fingers crossed they play them, but again, one game at a time.
So you've graduated and you live in downtown Chicago, but have you been able to come back from any games since you've graduated?
Yeah, I actually came back to when the banner dropped, which was super exciting. And then there was an alumni weekend, Halloween weekend. So I was with a bunch of old teammates. So it was super fun. And of course, watching the Badgers play, they played Minnesota, which Minnesota is another one that's really good. So seeing them win was awesome. But also just being with old teammates is always special.
Yeah, coming back to Madison is always fun. It's always a good reason to come back and go to the KK or something like that.
Exactly. With my arm, I'll come.
Exactly. And so have you seen much? Because I feel like when I went to college, a lot of my girlfriends played D1 volleyball at UC Berkeley. So I lived through osmosis of their experience of playing volleyball. But like in the years of, I mean, I assume you've been playing since you were a kid. But has there been many changes in women's volleyball, like collegiate volleyball, since you can think of when you started versus what you feel like it is now? Or has it been pretty consistent?
I would say that it's kind of gone up and down, if I'm being completely honest. When I was younger, I started playing when I was 10 or 11. So just watching volleyball, everything seemed like so high level. So it's kind of funny, like looking back at like old tapes that my parents had of like high school games and stuff. And in the moment I thought like, oh my gosh, this is like the highest level volleyball that I'm playing right now. And it's funny because like you think it is until you realize there's another level and there's mm-hmm. another intensity. So I think right now the women's volleyball has kind of turned into, I want to say, like a men's style, where it's really, really aggressive, strong hitters, a lot of power, girls that are 6'8", however tall. I was one of the shorter ones on the team, so that was a big wake-up call for me.
And how tall are you?
I'm 6 foot. 6'1". And I thought I was pretty tall going in. I'm like, okay, that's not.
I would be a shrimp at 5'10". Jeez.
Yeah.
And so I would be an elf, for heaven's sakes.
But I just think that the level has really just turned up a notch. And I think that they're using back row attack more than they ever have, which really helps out the offense. And like I said, it's just a lot of power that wasn't like that maybe 5 years ago.
Well, it's also very popular. I mean, that was, were yeah. you at the, was, I don't know if that overlapped with the game that you said you made it back for, but this year, like, they broke a record for as far as attendance for one of the games, right?
Yeah, I believe that was at the Kohl Center. I wasn't able to make it back, but yeah, Nebraska, I think the week before broke the record. And then the next week, Wisconsin came back and broke it right after them. So that was pretty cool to see. And yeah, it's awesome to see volleyball growing. And I know Kelly Sheffield has been a huge part of that and just trying to get volleyball out there on more broadcasts and to be televised more. And they usually don't have a Big Ten media day like they do for men's basketball and men's football. But this year was the first time they had that. So it's just those little steps that really make volleyball stand out more and for people to notice it a little bit more than usual.
Well, it's such a fun sport to watch. It's so fast paced, and just the the jumping ability that I don't have. But so since I always think it's interesting for competitive athletes who decide to hang it up, either after college, because I think what I learned from my dad is like at some point, every athlete's athletic career comes to an end. And so how has it been moving on past being such a dominant volleyball player in college?
Yeah, it's been a lot. I've had three of my siblings played Division I sports. So they kind of warned me of when you're done, it's going to be tough to process. And I mean, that's all you've ever known is being an athlete. So it's going to kind of take your identity away from you. I sadly had to kind of be forced to be done with volleyball because I end up hurting my back again. And for anyone that doesn't know, I got back surgery my freshman year. So then I found out once I went overseas to play in Italy that I injured my back again. So it was kind of like, okay, this is probably a time to hang up the jersey. So it was definitely hard for me to process. Yeah. I mean, now it's been a while, so it's gotten better. But there's always part of me that just looks back at all of the memories and wishes that could have gone longer. But I mean, that was a chapter of my life. It closed, but just kind of excited to have a new chapter in my life and just see where it goes.
What are you working on now?
I'm sure my parents are listening and would love to know that. But I'm thinking that I do want to go into coaching. That's always been a dream of mine. And I've talked with, you know, Kelly Sheffield and Gary White and Brittany Dildine a little bit about that. So currently I'm actually nannying downtown Chicago because my major was human development and family studies. And I really love interacting and just teaching younger kids. So I was missing that part kind of in my life. So I have that balance of kind of doing what I used to do and then kind of still trying to find that hole that is missing. And that's kind of just being a part of a team. And even though I wouldn't be a player on the team, I think just being on that whatever staff I'd be on and just kind of being with a group makes you feel like you're on a team again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Molly, I've always believed that baseball players are the most suspicious or superstitious rather among the sports. Did your squad have any rituals or things you always did before a game or lucky socks or I don't know, a lucky sports bra or
that
whatever?
Showering.
I always had to put my left shoe on before my right. And it's weird because I never like had any like type of things I would do before a game where I'm like, I have to do this. But then I think it was my junior year and Tiffany Clark, who I used to play with, she was a libero on our team and she wouldn't wash her knee pads.
Oh.
And as much as we all were like, oh my gosh, this is ruining the locker room smell. We're like, okay, we're winning. Like, don't wash them. So that was one of them I remember was Tiffany Clark's, but I didn't really have anything other than I had to put my left shoe on before my right. So random. Don't know why, but yeah.
Who knows? I mean, it got you, yeah. It got you a 3-time All-American outside hitter. So, and fresh Big Ten freshman of the year. And so clearly something was working, but Molly Haggerty, thank you so much for joining us today. This was really fun. Go Badgers. And maybe, I don't know, who knows it. Maybe we'll see you on the coaching bench at some point.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. Molly Haggerty is a previous Big Ten Freshman of the Year and 3-time All-American outside hitter who played for the Badgers women's volleyball team from 2016 to 2021. You can catch them tonight at 7 p.m. Go Badgers. All right. Thanks so much.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Olivia from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger, from California.
I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The clear skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 16. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We were rolling through this lunch hour with the Badger Hour, or I guess we can open it up and say Wisconsin Sports Hour, because tomorrow the big rivalry game between Marquette versus the Badgers men's basketball game is happening, and this is the 129th time I think they're playing. And I grew up in a Badger house. My dad played for the Badgers in the 70s, men's basketball. And I just remember growing up and having a bias against Marquette because of this long-standing rivalry. So to joining us right now to talk a little bit more about that rivalry and one of the most infamous, if not most infamous, Wisconsin sports events to ever happen is former Badger basketball player and my dad, Peter Bry. How you doing, Dad?
Doing quite well, thank you.
So, how would you, before we get into the actual game, how would you say that the rivalry has changed over time between the Badgers basketball, men's basketball team and the Marquette Golden Eagles?
You know, I got to tell you, I don't think it's changed that much. I mean, it's always sellout crowds and you know, whoever wins kind of have a chip on their shoulder. And, you know, it's I just think it's still never really changed and stuff like that.
Do you have predictions for tomorrow's game?
Well, Marquette is much quicker than we are in athletic. We're going to have to slow it down and grind it out and get them frustrated. But I would never, ever say Marquette's going to win.
Really? Even after that that big upset they had against Baylor earlier this week? Everyone in the Milwaukee area, people are very excited about that and feel like they're just going to take it to us this weekend. But I have a feeling that it's going to be a good game.
In this particular venue, my judgment is overseeded by my heart.
All right. I appreciate that response. So I would say it's interesting, having moved back and understanding this game from 1974 that lives in infamy as far as kind of the peak of this rivalry. And you played in that game. So from your point of view, why don't you just have a chance to retell that story of your good friend, the Hughes twins brothers' dad and Al McGuire, and how the whole thing played out.
So it was pretty much a game that Wisconsin was in the lead for the majority of the game. And, you know, it was a nail biter. And unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of Wisconsin fans in that, the old arena and stuff. But it was crazy. And with 17 seconds to go in the game, Kim Hughes, who longtime pro player and a very good University of Wisconsin college player. I think he's in the Hall of Fame. He was a 71% free throw shooter for the year, and he got fouled and went to the free throw line. We're up one, and all he, you know, if he makes the second one, you know, the least it can happen is get tied, and if he makes them both, there was no three-point shot. So he got up there, and he clanked the first one, and boom, he clanks the second one. Marquette calls timeout, and so he gets all set, and the defense is set, and everybody, and they can't penetrate, and they, with about 3 seconds to go, they threw a ball, and Maurice Lucas, who was one of Marquette's great players, also won the NBA championship with Portland and Bill Walton, picked it up off the ground on the left side of the free throw line, hit a 17-footer as the horn, as it goes through the net, the horn sounds, and we lost by one. So the what ensued after that is someone got an incredible picture that told the whole story. Coach Paulus, who was a tremendous man, someone I really respected and did a lot for me, had his head down coming through the middle of the court. Al McGuire, as only Al McGuire could, jumps on the scorer's table and puts both hands in the air. And what sealed the deal of this event was Kim Hughes. It was Kim and Carrie, the Hughes twins, and they had a nice career there. I don't know what the proper thing to say here, but we're all adults, and he gave Al the finger, and it was front page in the Journal Sentinel the next day.
It is quite the picture. They have it. I have it. They still, every once in a while, I think Milwaukee Journal Sentinel does something with the story, and in the archives, they have this picture. It is, because you always said that Glenn Hughes was like a really soft-spoken, like nice man, so this was totally out of character for him, right?
In terms of who we're talking about, Mr. Hughes,
Mr.
or
Hughes,
Coach
Glenn
Paulus?
Hughes, yeah.
Yes. 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 But, you know, he's a father.
Yeah, that's true.
And it just describes or illustrates the rivalry.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you wouldn't normally do that walking down the street or anything like that if you didn't, you know, because he probably never met or he might have met Al McGuire, but... that's just the way it is.
All right. Well, quickly, because I know someone is there's rumors of an Al McGuire movie. Who do you think would play? Who, what actor do you think would make a good Al McGuire?
Wow. You know, that's kind of your business. You've got a better scope
fair enough.
Would think. You know, I watch the movies. I guess I don't memorize their faces.
That's fair. All right. Well, Dad, thanks so much for taking time to talk to us today and retell that story. It's definitely a good one when it comes to this rivalry. But I know that you will be watching tomorrow, and fingers crossed that we get a Badgers win.
With a USA win and a Badger win, it wouldn't be any better day than you could possibly think of.
Absolutely. All right. Peter Rye, my father, former Badger basketball player, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app. It's not-
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
They say the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. In the same way, the journey to end poverty for good begins first with a child. A journey like this takes commitment from you and me. A commitment to end poverty for good. Learn how you can help at children.org right now.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, don't tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week, I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple, yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. For the small town of Abbotsford, the annual Christmas parade is a big deal. For the 51st year, the little town of around 2,000 people will enjoy more than 45 floats and hundreds of costumes in the parade that always takes place on the first Saturday in December. One of the favorite floats is the sinuous Puff the Magic Dragon that twines around the street and blows steam towards attendees. Puff has been a part of the annual parade since the 1970s and has become the star of the show. Thousands of hours go into making the storybook theme parade a magical event for everyone. Newer floats feature characters from Disney movies and popular shows, and not to be outdone by a dragon, Santa Claus is sure to make an appearance. The parade starts on Abbotsford's Main Street at 7 p.m. December 3rd. In sports, for college women's volleyball, Wisconsin hosts Quinnipiac tonight. Also tonight, the Bucks take on the Lakers. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Snow likely, overnight, otherwise overcast. Lows level off around 11, westerly winds 20 to 25 miles per hour. Highs level off around 18, tomorrow a mix of clouds and sun. Lows level off around 9 above, tomorrow night mainly clear skies. A dusting of snow overnight with another dusting Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 40.
Devil's advocates before this show even started, but I'm so happy to have Allison Chavez Stewart, who is the bilingual director of community relations at Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin, join us today. She's been there for 2 years and is developing a new department and team who are working on implementing the agency's new community-centric model across the state. And so it's going to be bringing resources to people in each community where Planned Parenthood still has health centers, and creating an experience called My Planned Parenthood. So love to talk to you more about that. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Thanks so much. It's great to see you. I don't think I've seen you in person since the day of the Dobbs decision.
I think I came over. There was a protest over at Red Arrow in Milwaukee, and you were doing your bilingual translation and you're giving a rousing speech. And I think I actually tweeted out, because you're like, not only are we not closing down, we're hiring at Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
And So yeah, that's been since June that I've the last time we really spoke or saw each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And we are still hiring. I was just actually looking at our job posting. So for everyone listening out there, if you want to be a part of this amazing work and mission, join us. There's like so many opportunities right now because we're growing a lot.
Which is, let's get to the growing in a second. Because I first want to just make sure that we cover what this new model is that you guys are implementing across the state.
Yeah. So thank you for the introduction. I have been at Planned Parenthood just about 2 years and a week or something, or 2 weeks. It's been an amazing journey. I am running a new department, the Department of Community Relations, but we're trying to implement a new business model called Community Centric. And I don't think that the work itself is new for Planned Parenthood at all. We were created out of a need that came directly from communities, and all the work that we do is so connected to people in our communities who have great needs. And, you know, the work that our education team does, our public affairs team, they are embedded in communities already. What we're trying to do is really connect, though, all of those internal departments that exist at Planned Parenthood more with our health centers, because I think we're all kind of focused, as anyone who works in a nonprofit knows, you kind of get in your little mode of your department and you're focused on that important work, and there's always more work than people. And we tend to forget about including each other. So we're trying to connect these things a little more intentionally to our health centers so that they know, oh, hey, you're going to be at that farmer's market. You just did a workshop at that school. You are canvassing in the neighborhood for the upcoming election. We want our health centers to feel connected to the work that we're doing in the community so that they can direct their patients to the other resources and help that we have. And also, we're building relationships out in the community with partner organizations that can better serve our patients, because when our patients come to us, they trust us. They maybe a lot of them haven't been to any healthcare provider in months, years, who knows. And they come to us, they trust us, and they're telling us, yeah, I'm here for this appointment, but I also have all these other needs and we can't do everything, but we have amazing partnerships with people all over the state who can help them with, you know, food security, warm clothes for the winter, immigration help, you know, whatever their needs are. We're trying to connect with partners. So it's not new work, but we're just formalizing it and really trying to build out the teams and try to have a greater impact in each community where we have a health center right now. And then after that, all the places in Wisconsin where, unfortunately, we don't have brick-and-mortar health centers.
How many brick-and-mortar Planned Parenthood health centers are there across Wisconsin?
There are 22. Okay. And then we have a new thing happening called Launchpad, which is just like a telehealth site that might be housed in another community organization. So we have two of those right now, one in Beloit at the Community Action site and one in Sparta that's just opening in their Cooley Cap. I think it's the Cooley Cap organization. So those are like telehealth sites where someone can either access telehealth from their car in the parking lot because we have internet working there, or they can come in and actually make an appointment and do it right there.
So
we're trying to expand that.
Yeah. And I think this is a good time as a reminder is, so people, I think probably unless you've been living on a rock, know that as of right now, abortion is not legal in Wisconsin. And yet 22 plus two telehealth centers that are owned by Planned Parenthood are still functioning because there is so many other health services that Planned Parenthood provides, even when abortion is not one of them, which is the case in Wisconsin. And so just as a reminder for folks who sometimes only associate that one piece of healthcare to Planned Parenthood, what are some of the other services that Planned Parenthood provides, why your patients would still be so reliant on the services that are provided?
Yes, good point. I do want to say too that I think one thing that is really interesting that I've been noticing, like I said, I've only been here 2 years. When I grew up, you know, when I was a teen in the 90s, I knew that Planned Parenthood existed. I knew I could go there. I had health insurance. I was lucky. I had a great relationship with my parents. I did not talk to them about my sexual and reproductive health. So I knew that I could just on my own time, go to Planned Parenthood, and I did. And what we're kind of finding right now in the communities is that a lot of people don't know we're still here and we're still open. I think, unfortunately, people who don't support us have had sometimes a louder voice in the discussion. And so people might think that, oh, because abortion access isn't happening right now in Wisconsin, that we're just closed down. But we did not close any health centers. We didn't lay anyone off. And we are open now for family planning, as we always have been, at these health centers. And we converted our centers that were providing abortion into family planning centers. So people actually have two additional places they can come see us. They can come to see us for, you know, finding out what the best method of birth control is, for pregnancy tests, for counseling about that. Maybe they have a lot of questions about, oh my God, I just found out I'm pregnant. I don't know yet what I want to do. We will listen to them and help them figure out whatever option they want to go with. That's also another misconception that, you know, if you want to continue your pregnancy, please come to us. We'll help you figure out getting, you know, to get the resources that you need. HIV testing, STI testing, breast and cervical cancer screenings. In 2020, we started doing gender-affirming hormone therapy, the HPV vaccine. So we see men, we see people of all genders. We're a safe place for people to come and be seen for lots of things. And we have such an awesome education department that we can direct people to. We are doing workshops in community organizations and schools, trying to just educate people about their sexual and reproductive health and make sure that they really have all the accurate information they need to be able to lead their life the way they want to lead it.
Allison, I think that's so important that people understand that men can use Planned Parenthood for things. I just think that that's something that's continually not even within a transom of thought.
Yeah, a lot of people just think of us as women's healthcare, and certainly we are, you know, the experts in that field, and have been around for over 100 years providing healthcare. And it did start out just for women, but we do provide services to men. I was just actually on a trip with some of my colleagues from our health promoter program, the Promotores de Salud. We were in Green Bay for a couple days recruiting for new health promoters. And, you know, we kind of take condoms everywhere we go, but you don't always want to lead with that. So we were handing out some free COVID tests and talking to people about the program. But, you know, when we were talking to men, we're like, hey, do you want some condoms? And, you know, people sometimes are like, really? They are a little shy, and then they take a few and they're like, can I, I'll just take some for some friends. It's like, grab a handful, please. But yes, we're a safe place and great place for men to come and also take charge of their sexual and reproductive health.
We're talking to Allison Chavez Stewart, who is the bilingual director of community relations. It's Friday. Community relations at Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin about the new community-centric model that they're implementing across all of the health clinics, Planned Parenthood health clinics in Wisconsin. And so I guess to pivot a little bit more to the ongoing situation, the 1849 criminal ban that is leaving people who are pregnant with a lack of options, whether it's a planned pregnancy that they want or one that they don't want. So what, I guess, really, like we said, since the last time you and I saw each other was the day that Dobbs came out and Roe was overturned. And so what have some of the cases been like as far as I know? You know, I think every once in a while, sometimes in Wisconsin, sometimes in one of the other states that has a ban right now, we hear very extreme cases of women who have a pregnancy that is either not viable or a miscarriage and there's huge health implications. But I think beyond some of the more extreme cases, what has been the experience of these last, I mean, I guess it's approaching 6 months now, as far as still providing care for someone who comes in and is wondering what their options are in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think that's an important point. Of course, a lot of the narrative about abortion care is driven by really extreme cases, and those are horrible, and people need to be able to access care. And, you know, in the case of ectopic pregnancies or, you know, fetal anomalies, you know, these cases are awful and horrific. But whatever reason someone seeks abortion care is valid. And some of those reasons aren't the quote unquote extreme cases. Some people don't know what's happening in the state because their lives are busy. And, you know, a lot of people do come to Planned Parenthood when something happens and there's an emergency, and they just might not be, you know, those of us that are embedded in the news and reading every single article we can every single day, you know, that not everyone can do that. Not everyone has that luxury of doing that or that interest. Their lives are busy. So, you know, when people find out that they're pregnant and they don't want to continue with that, hopefully they're calling us to try to find out what to do. And some people are like, what do you mean I can't access healthcare in my own community? This is not acceptable. It's not sustainable for people, regardless of their situation. But what we're doing is trying to help people figure out where the nearest, most appropriate appointment is. So we have added pregnancy assessment and ultrasound dating appointments that are free for people to come if they can to Madison or Milwaukee or Sheboygan. They can do these appointments as well to find out how far along they are exactly, so that when we help them book an appointment, it's the right one, so that they're not showing up, for example, trying to get a medication abortion, but they're too far along for that procedure. So we want to help them. So we have patient navigators who are helping people figure that out. If people feel like they can handle booking the appointment on their own, they really know how far along they are, they can go to Abortion Finder and, you know, find their own appointment and do it on their own. But some people are so overwhelmed, understandably, with the disruption in their life that this situation presents, that they need help. And so our navigators help them figure out where to go. Do they need financial help for the procedure? Do they need transportation help? That might be in the form of a bus ticket or a gas card. Do they need a hotel? Do they want to go to Illinois, which is our closest option? Or do they want to go to Colorado because they have a family member there? So we're just trying to help them figure out where they're at, what they need, and then hopefully they come back and see us when they get back so that we can help them with their care and help them move forward with their lives. And, you know, just it's just ridiculous that people can't just, you know, I mean, it's hard enough. Some people had to drive, a couple hours to Madison or Milwaukee, but to actually have to leave the state, yeah. I mean, it's wild.
It's not good. It's not good. All right. Well, we're going to keep you through the break. Our guest this half hour is Allison Chavez Stewart, who is the bilingual director of community relationships at Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You can write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you can write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Allison Chavez Stewart, who is the Bilingual Director of Community Relations at Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin. And we're talking about the new community-centric model that is getting implemented across the state. And so we touched on a little bit in the last segment, but as far as some of the more tangible like partnerships of, I think for anyone who knows more about health, that you can't always, a lot of these issues are not just standalone health things. And there's sometimes access to, it's interwoven with wealth access or monetary access and good food and stuff like that. So is that kind of the partnerships that is part of this community-centric model?
Yeah, absolutely. What we're trying to do is really identify what are some of the major needs of each community where we have health centers. And my staff and the staff of all of our community-facing teams, so education, public affairs, our development staff too, are out in the communities trying to understand what the most high-level needs are for people. And my staff are building those partnerships in communities. So in La Crosse, my colleague Carol Lee is, for example, sits on the selection committee for Habitat for Humanity. So when they're, seeking families who need housing, she's right in there and understands, like, really right there on the ground level what communities are facing. My colleague, Scarlett, who just started in May, is working in Racine and Kenosha and is also on the board of the LGBT Center of Southeast Wisconsin. So she's really connected to those issues and because she's new, is out at every community event that she can possibly be at in Racine and Kenosha so that people start to see us and realize, like, oh, hey, they're here. And she might be at a health and wellness fair. She might be at Juneteenth. My colleague, Tara, in Milwaukee is doing some really amazing things in the community around our Northwest Health Center. So on the north side of Milwaukee, she hosted our first back to school bash in September. And we had a full day of community activities for families to come and get a backpack filled with school supplies for their kids for school, because we know that families can't afford some of those things right now, especially. And so we had food. We had other health agencies there to provide information about COVID testing, and Familia Dental was there. So for people to see, like, okay, these agencies are in my neighborhood. This health center is helping my kids with school supplies. We were doing a lot of raffles and we had games, and the Bucks donated some stuff to us. So, we're just trying to remind people that, health isn't just for us. Health isn't just about your sexual and reproductive health, but all these things are connected. And as we try to move to more of a reproductive justice model, what that really means is that you decide when and if you want to have a family, and that family, whether it's you on your own or an extended group of lots of kids and family, you deserve to grow up and live in a community that's safe and sustainable and healthy. And that extends out really to everything, to schools, to drinking water, to the environment, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. And so it's in kind of speaking in that, as far as the resources available. And so for someone who was interested in getting pregnant, is that something that Planned Parenthood could help out with, especially if you are on the geriatric side of pregnancy?
Don't you love that term? I've been on my own journey, and it's been very interesting to be in your own life and then come and work at Planned Parenthood and sort of just start to, my eyes have really been open to the unfortunate ways that women in the healthcare system have been treated, and really anyone who's not a white male has been treated for the healthcare system. But using the term geriatric is one of those things that's very frustrating. But I think you could come to Planned Parenthood and talk to one of our providers about where you're at, what you need. That might involve getting off birth control and really seeing what your options are. You may, have to be referred to a specialist, but we can also help with referrals. But yes, definitely coming to Planned Parenthood to create your plan is part of the deal and in the name.
Ellison, is it realistic to assume that the next step will be for opponents of reproductive choice to go after birth control and IVF and things like that?
I mean, I hope not, but they did definitely, they have, those things were mentioned in the decision and have been started to be bandied about in discussions and different laws here and there. And, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it is horrifying to think that the ultimate goal of the right is to not only create a national abortion ban, but to outlaw birth control. That's ridiculous. So does that extend to condoms? Does that, what are we talking about here? And when we talk to our talk internally and to our partners, part of the problem with the law that is on the books is that it was created at a time way before any of the technology that we're using today. They didn't have ultrasounds. Doctors weren't creating these laws, and doctors aren't writing these laws now. So that's a problem. I don't know what's going to happen, but we do have to keep this in the forefront of people's minds that, unfortunately, these issues don't just, when people say that's not my issue, nobody is going around in their life thinking about when am I going to have an abortion? It is something you need to be aware of, because someone you or someone you care about or someone you love will have an abortion. And so you need to understand what's at stake. Unfortunately, we've heard a lot of stories from doctors locally and across the country that, people who are planning pregnancies or trying to plan pregnancies or getting pregnant, these appointments that they're going to now aren't as joyful as they once were, because they have to be totally aware of the laws in their state and what will happen if something goes wrong with their wanted pregnancy. Can they even get care in their state, or do they have to go elsewhere? We're really trying to make sure that doctors locally understand what they can and can't do. And our staff has been so awesome in helping to provide information to doctors across the state. But this is not how we should be approaching healthcare. People should be able to lead their lives how they want, get pregnant or not, and be able to go to their healthcare provider and have, a conversation and get the care they need.
Absolutely. Well, within 1 minute that we have left before we have to let you go, what resources would you like to direct people to?
As far as everything that we do, you can find it all on our website at ppwi.org. That'll help you make an appointment on telehealth, or to go in to one of our spaces. You can find out more information about abortion access if that's what you're looking for. If you want to volunteer, if you want to donate, all the ways that you can get involved with us, it's all there on the website. You can look at ppawi.org if you want to be part of our on-the-ground effort to work on elections and many other things. Join us.
All right.
If you want to work for us, I'm going to keep plugging
that.
They're
growing. They are growing. Ellison Chavez-Stewart is the Bilingual Director of Community Relations at Planned Parenthood.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swollen. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the